We welcome you all to the house of God this evening, and we're going to turn, please, to the hymn 104 to commence the meeting tonight. 104 on page 218. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 104, and we'll stand together as we sing. Let's seek the Lord together in prayer this evening, and let us again seek to draw near to the Lord and ask the Lord that he might draw very near unto us tonight, even in this service. Father in heaven, once again this evening, we thank thee for the privilege we have to draw near unto thee in prayer. We acknowledge again tonight that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And we thank thee that though we are by nature sinners and therefore enemies of thine, we thank thee that there is that way whereby we can be reconciled unto thyself. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who has made peace by the blood of his cross. And we thank thee tonight, therefore there is that way of access unto thee, that way of acceptance before thee. And so we come tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, and upon the merit of his finished work, we thank thee we can say with the hymn writer, I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. We thank thee tonight we've been able to sing about the precious blood of the Saviour. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we thank thee tonight that the blood has been shed. We thank thee that each one who has trusted in Christ for salvation can say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We thank thee that we're justified by the blood. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus is that Lamb without blemish and without spot, shed his precious blood. And therefore that even as John the Baptist cried out all those years ago, so tonight the message can still be proclaimed. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so Lord, tonight as we come to thee, we do pray that thou wilt even cleanse us afresh in the precious blood. We pray tonight that we might be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee tonight for the gospel, that it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. We know to some it is that savour of life, to others it is that savour of death. But Lord, we thank thee tonight that Christ is still able to save to the uttermost those that come unto thee through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We thank thee for the one who is holy and harmless and undefiled, and separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. And we thank thee that he is able to save. We do pray tonight that each one who has experienced thy saving power, that we might rejoice in thy so great salvation. But Lord, we pray tonight for any that are still unsaved and out of Christ, still spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. We pray that this very night they might experience what it is to be born again of thy Spirit, to be quickened tonight. And we pray that they'll be enabled to turn away from their sin and to place their faith in the Lord Jesus and his finished work for salvation. So we ask tonight that thou wilt help us as we further sing thy praise. We pray as thy word is read, that thou wilt speak to us, even through the reading of thy word. We thank thee that thy word is a living word. It is a speaking word. We thank thee it is not merely the word of man, but it is the word of the living God. And so we pray as thy word is read, that thou wilt speak to your hearts. Hide thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And then, Lord, as we come to the preaching of thy word, we know it is through the foolishness of preaching that thou hast ordained to save those that believe. And though, Lord, as your word is preached to the world, it may seem foolish. But, Lord, we thank thee that your word is still powerful. And we pray that the power of your word will be demonstrated tonight, that your Spirit with power will apply thy word to every heart as thou dost see the need. And so we pray again this evening that first and foremost that thou wilt minister to our spiritual needs, whether it's that need for salvation, that need for restoration, or that need for growth and grace. We pray that thou wilt minister through thy word to each of our hearts. And then, Lord, again, we think of those needs of body and of mind. We think of those different trials that are faced and those different burdens that are borne in life. Lord, we pray that even through the ministry of thy word, that we'll be strengthened and equipped for even the rest of this week that lies before each of us. We know that there are many things unknown to us, but we thank thee that thou dost know the end from the beginning. Thou dost know every situation that will come across each of our pathways, even throughout this week. And so we pray that thy word will be that means of preparing us for those different circumstances and situations. Lord, as we pray for the meeting here tonight, we pray for every other place tonight where the gospel will be faithfully proclaimed. We pray that thy word will have free course and be glorified. We are assured that thy word will not return unto thee void, but that it will accomplish that whereto thou dost send it. And so we pray that thy word will fall on that good ground in hearts and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. We think tonight of the other means whereby people can hear the word of God, even though they're not able to be physically in the public place of worship. We pray that you'll bless the means of the internet. Bless even those who tonight may listen to a DVD or listen to a CD. Bless those who maybe only are able to open the word of God for themselves and read it, and yet what a blessing that is. Lord, we pray that thou would use even the work of Let the Bible Speak that was highlighted to us this morning, even this means by means of the radio and the television and the internet and so many places throughout this world. Lord, we pray that thou would use all these various channels for the salvation of sinners and the building up of your own people. We do remember the mission fields of the world tonight. We're conscious that there's a mission field all around us in this province and in our nation, in this island. But we think of the many mission fields of the world where your people, even from this land, have been called to go and labour in other parts of the world. We pray that thou will bless our missionaries tonight, there in Liberia, in Uganda, in Kenya. Bless those who labour in Spain, in Nepal, all these different places. Lord, we pray that you will bless and prosper the going forth of thy word. And so we just pray that you will come now and shut us in with yourself. And we pray truly tonight that each of us will meet with thee, that thou will meet with us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to 242 on page 274. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. 242, and we'll stand again as we sing. Let's turn tonight, please, to the Old Testament and to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua and the chapter 2. And we're going to read some verses here in Joshua chapter 2. And then there's one verse in Hebrews 11 and the verse 31 that we also want to read tonight. Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to read from the verse 8, and it is the woman who is referred to as Rahab the harlot that we want to think upon tonight. And here in Joshua chapter 2 and the verse 8, it says, "And before they were laid down," that is the two men that were sent to spy out Jericho by Joshua, "she," that is Rahab, "came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the man said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. And then just that one verse over in Hebrews 11 and the verse 31. Hebrews 11 and the verse 31. And there we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to all our hearts this evening for his name's sake. We'll ask your brother James to come please at this stage and bring the necessary announcements.
We do give you a warm welcome tonight. It's cold outside. We appreciate the effort made in coming to the house of God. We do pray that our hearts will be warmed as we listen to the Word of God this evening. If you're not able to make it, you're listening in online, we do give you a welcome as well to the service this evening. We do thank you for joining with us. We give another welcome to our preacher for today, the Reverend John Woods, from our John Knox Free Presbyterian Congregation in Belfast. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we do trust that he will know the help of God in the proclamation of the gospel this evening. Immediately after the evening service tonight, there will be the choir practice in the prayer room for the Christmas service. Those involved in that, if they could make their way immediately after the meeting, and Heather will be there to go through the pieces with you. Do remember the building fund offering today, and again those baskets will be at the exit doors as you leave. Very quickly, the meetings during the week. Tomorrow morning 10:30, mother and toddlers meeting in the church hall. Tomorrow evening 6:45, the Awana meeting. Do plan to attend those if you have young children or very young children for the morning one. We commit those meetings and commend them to you. Wednesday night, 8 p.m, the Bible study prayer meeting. The Reverend Murray will be along to bring a word at that meeting. And then immediately afterwards for the men, please take note, there will be a short committee meeting immediately after the prayer meeting concludes. So your attendance will be appreciated at that meeting, brethren, please. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of December, the Sunday school at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the two seasons of prayer prior to the services. We would encourage you to come to those seasons of prayer and join around the throne of grace, committing the meeting and the word to the Lord. Then at 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m., the family worship and the gospel service in the evening, and the Reverend Murray will be along next Lord's Day to bring the Word of God to us, and her sister Natasha will be bringing messages in song at the evening service. Also next Sunday evening in the Cumber Free Presbyterian Church at 8:45, there is the North Down Young Adults Fellowship. The invitation is extended to you if you're able to go across to that meeting after the evening service. Sunday the 18th, just a reminder again that we will be having the annual retiring offering for the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. The Covenanter trip, the details are on the board in the hallway there. DVDs and CDs from our brother Sam Houston. If you want one, put your name down in the list and we can get the money from you at a later date. The LTBS calendars, we just reiterate the comments that we made this morning. We trust that you will take those calendars, support the work, and that it will be used in the furtherance of the gospel. Again, we remember or mention the sick to you for prayer. We did go into those details last week, but we bring them to you again. And just to mention the fact that if there is someone in your own family or someone connected to the church who isn't well, you may hear before we do, please let us know, any of the elders or myself, so that we can be in contact with the Reverend Mary to arrange a visit to see the individuals concerned. We would appreciate your help in those matters, please. Those are all the announcements that I need to make at this part of the service. We'll hand the rest of the meeting back to the Reverend Vaughan. Thank you.
Thank our brother again for the words of welcome and making the announcements. It has been good to be with you today. It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God wherever you're asked. I sometimes say, well, when you're in a congregation, people there don't get much choice, but it's good to go elsewhere so your own people can listen to someone else for an odd Sunday as well. But it is a privilege, of course, to preach the Word of God wherever we're invited to do so. And we trust tonight that if you're saved, you'll rejoice in the Lord and His salvation. And if you're not saved tonight, you might even call out to the Lord for His forgiveness and His salvation. We'll turn to another hymn just before we come to the Word of God, please. It's 287. 287. And this hymn opens by saying, "Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare?" We're going to stand to sing the first four verses. We'll keep the last two verses just for the end of the service. The first four verses, please, of 287. You can have your Bible open at Joshua 2 or Hebrews 11 tonight, because in a sense our text is found there, yes, in Hebrews 11, but we will be referring to the book of Joshua, and there in Hebrews 11, and that verse 31 in this chapter, which speaks of many different individuals who did certain things by faith, We read in Hebrews 11 and 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's just seek the Lord for a moment in prayer, and once again ask the Lord to speak to us, even through the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, once again tonight we thank thee for the depth of mercy that is found in thyself. We know thou art a just and a holy God, one who must punish sin. But we thank thee thou art also a God of mercy and grace, that thou hast provided a way of salvation. We know it's not by works of righteousness that we can do, but it is according to thy mercy that we can be saved. And Lord, we pray tonight as we consider even thy mercy to this woman called Rahab, that each of us who have experienced thy mercy and salvation will be filled with thanksgiving, that those who may yet be out of Christ will look to thee for thy mercy, will realize it is only by thy mercy that they can be saved, and that they this very night will turn away from their sin, place their faith in Christ, and receive thy mercy and salvation. So Lord, I pray that thou wilt fill me afresh with thy Spirit tonight. Speak through me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Rahab was one of the many people who lived in the city of Jericho at that time when the people of Israel had crossed the river of Jordan under the leadership of Joshua into the Promised Land. And as, of course, they advanced to possess the land which God had promised to them, Jericho was the first city that God was going to deliver into their hands. In Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 1 and 2, we read of how Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. This was the first city that God was going to give into the hands of Israel as they began to possess the land of Canaan. It was God's judgment that was going to fall upon the city of Jericho and its inhabitants because of their sin against God. That city was going to be burnt with fire. The people within it were going to be destroyed. And this would be God's just judgment executed upon that people. The captain of the host, an Old Testament appearance of the Son of God, appeared to Joshua at the end of Joshua chapter 5 and the verse 13 and into chapter 6 to, as it were, prepare and encourage Joshua before he would lead the people of Israel toward the city of Jericho. And you can read there in chapter 5 and verse 13 about Joshua being down by Jericho by himself, lifting up his eyes, and behold, there was this man with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua approached this man and asked him the question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And it was then that this man revealed himself to Joshua as the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua immediately realized that this was the Son of God appearing to him. He fell on his face to the earth and he worshipped. And he said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And then the Lord told him to loose his shoe from off his foot, because the place where he stood was holy ground. The Lord, of course, had said something very similar to Moses back at the burning bush. And then as we go into chapter 6, we read of the Lord saying to him, as we have pointed out, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof. And as I have said, this was going to be the just judgment of God upon Jericho and upon its people. But the judgment that was coming upon Jericho and its people in the days of Joshua reminds me of the fact there's a day coming when the just judgment of God is going to be executed upon this world. Just as there was a day when by means of the great worldwide flood, God judged this world and its inhabitants, so there's a day coming when God will judge this world and its inhabitants by fire. Peter, in his second letter, in the chapter 3, and the verse 7, brings to our attention that day that is yet to come, when God will judge this world in righteousness. And he said there, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved on the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just as there was judgment to come upon Jericho and its people, so there is a judgment to come upon this world and upon all who remain unrepentant in their sin. Paul spoke of this same day when he wrote to the church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the verses 8 to 9. He wrote of the coming again of Christ and how that in flaming fire the Lord will take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Such will be punished with everlasting destruction. And my friend, tonight, if you're not saved, though you know about God, you do not know him personally. You have not obeyed the call of the gospel to turn from sin and trust in Christ. And the great tragedy is that if you go on like that, you will be among those who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The Apostle John, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 15, he also wrote of the day of judgment. And he wrote that those that are not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. But just as here in the book of Joshua, there was a day of judgment and destruction coming upon Jericho and its inhabitants, and yet God was pleased to see if this woman Rahab from that destruction. So tonight, thank God, we can say all who turn from their sin now in life and trust in Christ for salvation will be saved from everlasting destruction, will be saved from ending up in the lake of fire, and will be saved not only to live for God now in this life, but to be with Christ for all eternity. And therefore tonight I want us to focus in upon this woman Rahab. We have read about her here in Joshua 2. We can read about her in other chapters of this book of Joshua. We have read that text in Hebrews 11 and the verse 31. And so tonight we want to think about this woman and the mercy and salvation that she received from the Lord. And I want us first of all tonight to think about Rahab and her sin. When we read of this woman Rahab in Hebrews 11 and verse 31, she's referred to as the harlot Rahab. And when we read about her here in the book of Joshua, she's also referred to in the same manner. She had something in common with each of us here. She had something in common with all mankind. She was born as a sinner, and therefore she committed sin. In her case, she was born into a heathen land. She was born into a land where she would have worshipped false gods. Later in this book of Joshua, in the chapter 23 and the verse 7, Joshua warned the people of Israel that they might come not among these nations. These that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. He was warning the people of Israel about the false gods. The false gods that the people of the land had worshipped. And that included this woman, Rahab. And while Rahab, like each one of us, was guilty of many sins, there was one particular sin that particularly stained her character and her life before her conversion. And that is the fact that she was, it is described in the Word of God, as Rahab the harlot. She was an immoral woman. Even here in Joshua chapter 2, in the very opening verse of the chapter, we read that Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And as I've said, she's referred to on other occasions in the book of Joshua, for example, in chapter 6. She's referred to also by James in his little epistle. In each of these times, she's referred to as Rahab the harlot. Her name is linked to this particular sin. A shameful sin. But thank God, a sin that she was delivered from, and a sin that many others have been delivered from. And tonight, just for a few moments, as we think of Rahab and her sin, and the particular sin that is linked to her name in the Word of God, I want you to think about a few other passages in the Word of God that remind us that even people in bondage to this particular sin, as Rahab was, can be saved from this sin. And of course tonight we could list many other sins that sinners are in bondage to. Yet God's salvation is able to deliver from such sins. If you turn for a moment to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, the Lord Jesus was speaking in the verses 31 and 32. And the Lord Jesus was addressing really the religious leaders of the day. He was rebuking their self-righteousness. They were religious, but they were not saved. And the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew 21 and the verses 31 and 32. And indeed he made mention of John the Baptist and his ministry and how people responded to it. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. He had spoken the words of a parable. And he said in verse 31 of Matthew 21, whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now of course, as we'll see in the next verse, he wasn't saying that these people were entering into the kingdom holding on to their sin. Because he said in verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. That is, the self-righteous religious leaders did not believe John. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. But these harlots and publicans, they repented of their sin. They believed the message. They turned from their sin. They trusted in Christ for salvation. Therefore, they entered into the kingdom of God. While many who had an outward show of religion, they did not enter in because they didn't take their place as a sinner. They didn't turn from their sin. They didn't look to the Lord for salvation. And so during the ministry of the Lord, the ministry of John the Baptist as well, there were those who were immoral individuals, but they turned from their sin and they received salvation, just like this woman, Rahab. We might also think of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Was she not also an immoral woman? The Lord Jesus, as he spoke with her, in John chapter 4, he faced her with her sin. He said to her in John 4, and the verse 16, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus saith unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." Here was a woman. She was an immoral woman. And yet, of course, as we read on down the chapter, we read of the Lord's dealings with her, and how she was able to go into the city. She was able to say to the men of the city in verse 29, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She was delivered from her sin. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 9 to 11, he wrote very solemn words. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And by nature, all of us are unrighteous. We can't inherit the kingdom of God by ourselves or by our merits. He went on to say, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Rahab's name could be put into that verse because of what she was by nature. And yet, Paul could say to the believers that he was addressing in the church at Corinth, "And such were some of you. This is what you were in the past. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Where sin abounds, grace can much more abound." We're thinking tonight of Rahab and her sin. She was known as Rahab the harlot. She had been an immoral woman. And no matter what your sin might be tonight, if you're not saved, you might feel your sin is not as serious as Rahab's sin. But yet all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whatever your sins might be, you're on the same standing by nature as Rahab was. She was a sinner, and by nature she was going to perish in her sin left to herself. So are you. So are us all by nature. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, he pointed out that in Joshua 2, And the verse 6, when this woman Rahab brought up the spies to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof, he pointed out that that very detail showed the evidence that her life had been changed. She was no longer Rahab the harlot. She was earning her money by an honest and upright employment, those stalks of flax. When they're mentioned over in Proverbs 31 and 10, which speaks of the virtuous woman, one of the things that it says of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 and verse 13 is that she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. But by nature we're showing this woman Rahab, she was a sinner. And tonight you're a sinner. If you're saved, you can thank God you're a saved sinner. But if you're not saved tonight, you're a sinner condemned at this moment. Condemned to everlasting punishment. But I want you to think for a moment in the second place about this woman Rahab again. We've thought about Rahab and her sin, but I want you to think about Rahab and her faith. Because that verse in Hebrews 11 and the verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. There was something that happened in the life and experience of this woman, Rahab. God wrought upon her heart and brought her to a place where she repented of her sin, and she placed her faith in the true God. She placed her faith in the coming Savior. What can we say about her faith tonight? Well, we can say that her faith was produced because of what she heard. In Joshua chapter 2 and the verse 10, when she spoke to those two spies that Joshua had sent to Jericho, she said to them in the verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and so on. She had heard about what the Lord had done for his people in redeeming them out of Egypt and bringing them through the Red Sea. She had heard. But in the verse 9 of Joshua 2, she had said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. Not only had she heard, but she had been convinced by what she had heard that the God of Israel was the true God, and he was going to give them the land. Others had heard, but they had remained unbelieving. They thought that they could shut themselves into Jericho and, as it were, fight against God and his people. But this woman, Rahab, she had heard and she had believed. You see, not all who hear the truth of God's word believe. Did not the apostles speak about that to the Hebrews in Hebrews 4 and verse 2? Some had heard, but what they had heard had not been mixed with faith and those had heard it. You know, this woman Rahab in the verse 11, what she had said at the end of verse 11 of Joshua 2, she said to the spies, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Was she not there confessing her faith in the true God? The Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth, and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. And of course, over in the little letter to James, the works of this woman are focused in upon. Because while we're not saved by our works, we're saved unto good works. Her faith led her to throw in her lot with the true God and his people. Her faith led her in verse 13 to ask Joshua, and that ye will, of course she was asking the spies who would take the message to Joshua, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. See, if you will realize that you're a sinner in need of salvation, and you will realize that Christ came and he lived a perfect life and he went to the cross, gave himself as the great sacrifice for sin, died, arose again. And if you realize that by trusting in him for salvation you can be saved, will you not come and ask for salvation? And if you do so and you receive salvation, you'll have a desire that others will know this salvation. Rahab asked that she might be saved alive, and her father, and her mother, her brethren, and her sisters. The hymn writer said, "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine." The question is tonight, have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation? Sometimes people talk about faith, but they're talking about faith in themselves and what they have done. Faith in the church, faith in a religious leader. But it's only by placing our faith in Christ that we can be saved from our sins. This woman Rahab then, her sin is highlighted, Rahab the harlot. But her faith is highlighted. There was a change wrought in her. She turned from her sin. She placed her faith in the true God. And that brings us then, as we finish, to think about Rahab and her salvation. Because again, in that verse 31 of Hebrews 11, we read, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." She perished not with them that believe not. We've already pointed out others in Jericho heard the same truth about Israel and their God and what he had done for them. We have heard. But many of them didn't believe. Many of them wouldn't submit. Wouldn't give in, as it were. They wanted to fight against the people of Israel and their God. They thought that they could somehow escape the judgment of God. But when you get to chapter 6 of Joshua and read the opening verse of this city straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, none going out, none coming in. And of course God did deliver that city into the hands of Joshua and Israel. And the people of the city did perish, but Rahab perished not. If you look for a moment at Joshua 6, just there as we finish, down to the verse 17, where Joshua was speaking, and it tells us there in Joshua 6 and 17, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord." This is Joshua speaking to his men. "Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." And if you go on down to verse 22, "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her." Verse 23, "And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And then verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And Joshua, of course, is a picture of Christ. Christ is the one that can save us from our sins. Save us from a lost eternity. Goes on to say in that verse 25 that Rahab dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day. And you, of course, can read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 that Rahab, she married a man called Salmon. They had a child called Boaz, who in turn married Ruth. And from that line came the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, according to the flesh. What? Yes, a temporal deliverance Rahab was saved from when we think of Jericho being destroyed and its inhabitants. But she was also saved from a lost eternity, because she came to know the true God. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Not just believe about him. Not just come and sit under the sound of his word, but trust in him. You can be saved from your sin. And yet if you will not trust in Christ, you will perish forever in a lost eternity. As the hymn writer puts it, oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Rahab, despite her sin, was brought to turn from it and place her faith in Christ, and she was saved. And you can be saved as well. Let's turn just to the last two verses of that hymn, 287, the verses 5 and 6. The verse 5 says, Jesus' answer from above, is not all thy nature love? Wilt thou not the wrong forget? Suffer me to kiss thy feet. And the Lord will forget all your sins if you will truly turn from them and trust in him for salvation. We'll stand to sing the verses 5 and 6 of this hymn 287. Prayer. If you're not saved tonight, think of those words in that last verse. Bow thine ear, in mercy bow, pardon, and accept me now. God will accept you tonight if you will turn from your sin, confess it to him, trust in Christ for salvation, receive him by faith. You can be saved tonight. But oh, tonight, if you put the matter off for another time, the Bible says we know not what a day brings forth. You could leave the matter too late, be lost in your sin. Oh, tonight, come and trust in the Savior. If we can be of any help to you, don't be afraid to make your need known. But oh, tonight, come to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee that this woman Rahab, from what she heard, was brought to turn from her sin. place her faith in the true God. We thank thee that she perish not. And we thank thee that as sinners we need not perish in her sin. We need not be lost forever. For we thank thee that thou hast found a ransom. We thank thee that Christ has lived. He has died. He has arisen. And we thank thee he's able and willing to save all who will come unto thee through him. We pray tonight for any in this gathering that are unsaved or any that are listening in. We pray tonight they will call out to thee for thy salvation. We thank thee the Saviour has said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Speak on through thy word tonight. Take us now our separate ways in safety. And once again we would pray that honour and glory and praise might redound to thy great name this night and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.